Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and I'm bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls for the time being. Hopefully we're going to have on the line with us very shortly Pastor Joe Schimmel. And Joe is a fascinating individual. You'll really be interested in his story. He's a minister of the gospel now, but he hasn't always been. In fact, when he was very young, he was a rock star. He was writing lyrics for rock tunes, and he was getting drawn deeper and deeper into the demonic world. And when he tells you about how he would just be sitting there writing the lyrics, and suddenly these lyrics that he didn't write would suddenly appear on the page, and they would rhyme perfectly, and they would have meanings he didn't understand, and then when he checked them out, of course it would be so logical, and he was well on his way to becoming a great success in the rock music world until he suddenly came. Well, I'm going to let him tell the story. I think it's an amazing story. Joe, thank you so much for being with us.
It's good to be here, Dr. Stan.
Well, we were just sort of introducing you a little bit to our listeners, and our guest today is Pastor Joe Schimmel. He has a church in Southern California. In fact, we had an opportunity to meet him because of the man who produced the video we carry. It's called Megiddo of the March to Armageddon. And Chris Pinto goes to Joe's church. And after seeing a video that Joe had put together, Chris was inspired to do the same thing. And so he spent several years making up the video, Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, which we carry, which we think is really a great, very, very revealing. It's a great production. But, Joe, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about how it was that you came to know the Lord? Because you certainly started out going the wrong direction, didn't you?
Well, that's certainly correct. I grew up as kind of your typical rebellious teenager, and my God was basically the God of rock and roll. And as I pursued music, through the music I was into, I got introduced to occultism, also through a couple books I was looking at on the power of the subconscious mind, and I ended up delving into that realm, not believing that Satan was a real being, and rejecting Christianity. I basically opened myself up to a lot of occultic experiences through getting into meditative states and so forth. And I caught you just as in the middle of your introduction, so I don't want to repeat anything. But
you know, please go ahead and repeat it, because it'll mean a lot more coming from you than from me.
Okay, it was interesting because I was basically agnostic, and when I opened myself up to these other forces, I began writing songs like My Family or My Soul, and lyrics with like I was falling forever deeper to the hold, the devil was grasping my soul, I could not be. Then it went into, at first I was troubled with the devil for the reason, then the choice had dawned, it would be my soul or that of my family's to be treasoned. I could not win to be a devil or a demon. I was writing lyrics that were basically glorifying Satan. In the end of that particular song, at the end, so I won or maybe so, and so I left with my soul. Problem was, I left my family in this, make-believe song in hell. And at first I thought, wow, this is amazing, all these lyrics I'm writing, lyrics like treacherous meadows, touched by the devil, burdened with calamity and subdued by disease. A lot of songs that were glorifying Satan, and I thought, wow, I don't even believe in this Satan character. How come so much of my music is like that? And I was writing very anti-God songs as well, a song called Disappointment is Your Friend, and it was basically about how you would be disappointed, perhaps, if you found out Christianity wasn't true, but the truth will basically set you free. That wasn't one of the lyrics, but that was basically the concept. And as I opened myself up more and more to these forces, I would go through altered states of consciousness. I would wake up 2 or 3 in the morning hearing music blasting.
Hold that thought right there. Okay. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. Well, our guest this afternoon is Pastor Joe Schimmel, and he has a church in Southern California, but he hasn't always been a minister. He got started in his early life as a rock store star, writing music, rock music, and of course he had turned his back on God, and he found that he suddenly was able to write these wonderful lyrics, but they all seemed to deal with Satan. They all seemed to deal with an anti-Christian message, and he's wondering where these ideas are coming from, and the lyrics are really great. In fact, I remember, Joe, you were telling us about some of those lyrics. You didn't even know their full meaning until you actually checked them out. Would you like to explain that?
Yeah, it was interesting. As I wrote a lot of the lyrics, I'd have to read over and over again to understand what the song meant, only to find that it made perfect sense. It would make perfect sense if you were a New Ager or you're involved in Eastern mysticism, because I was basically being initiated into Eastern thought processes and occultic worldviews through the lyrics that I was channeling.
And you really were channeling. You weren't really writing these. These were just sort of coming out of nowhere that fit down on the page, that rhymed perfectly. And you were really pretty pleased with it, weren't you?
Well, I remember one time I was doing some work at the house when I was 17 years old, and I remember a character coming to my mind. I wasn't even thinking of music, Tiki Tom, the Indian boy. So I went into my house, and boom, before I knew it, I had a song about Tiki Tom, the Indian boy, who went through a state of reincarnation. He's born into a world of problems and pleasures of all shapes and sizes. It says, reach into your mind, you'll find all kinds of surprises. Color and sound are all around. Our greatest senses remain to be found. And the lyrics would push this like sixth sense, this occultic sense. And as I would look at many of the words off it, I'd look them up in the dictionary only to find that they always fit perfectly in the song. And I knew this was beyond me because I was trying to get in touch with what I thought was a subconscious mind, but I opened myself up to the demonic world. I'd have different experiences where I'd wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning with music, audible music being played in the concert situations and so forth, that where music was given to me. My friends thought it was odd that when I played guitar, I had a very Eastern sound. Now I grew up in Southern California, and I'm not from the East, and all of a sudden all my music was very Eastern, my lyrics were Eastern. And after I became a Christian, when I realized what was going on, and I opened myself up to spirits who actually communicated me on at least two occasions.
Hold that thought, Jeff, for just a moment here.
Sure.
Okay, well, our guest this afternoon is Pastor Joe Schimmel, and he's talking about how he's been involved, so it's almost with automatic writing, and he's opening himself up to spirits, and he's recognizing that so much of his music, so much of what he's writing has this Eastern mysticism in it, and he's young, he really doesn't believe in the devil, and yet he keeps getting drawn deeper and deeper into this morass. So pick up the story there, Joe.
Well, as I did get deeper, it became very apparent to me that I had opened myself up to satanic forces, forces I didn't believe exist as a youngster. I thought it was, you know, some old wives' tale. And all of a sudden I came to the knowledge through my stupidity or my rebellion, basically, that Satan was very real. And then as I began to look at the different bands that I was into, I began to find a common denominator. I began to find that groups that I like The Doors, Led Zeppelin, and Jimi Hendrix and various other bands, many of them were admitting blatantly to Satanism or being possessed by spirits or to channeling music, the same thing. But I found this from musician to from the 50s on to actually in my research currently, as the popular bands continue to come out, you see the same common denominator as well. There's a continuous satanic stream of consciousness that comes through many of the top bands out there, and they're basically satanic beings that the Bible talks about that are influencing the youth to change the culture here in the United States and the Western world, and hopefully, from their standpoint, bring about the New World Order eventually under Antichrist.
And really, what Pastor Joe has done is put together the most amazing video. It's 4 hours long. Now, that's a long time to watch a video, but I will tell you, you'll be fascinated as you see the footage that he's been able to amass, and you'll see Marilyn Manson, the rock singer, talking about his dedication to Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist. You'll hear Ozzy Osbourne and the Beach Boys and so many of these others are going into the background of their dedication to these demonic spirits, specifically Aleister Crowley, and there's footage in there on Aleister Crowley himself, and so many of these people, are openly admitting that they're into Satanism, and yet most Christians don't even believe this sort of thing exists today. They think this is all make-believe. It's sort of like the X-Files, but it really isn't simply the X-Files, is it, Joe?
No, it isn't. In fact, it's very well planned out. It's something that we can document, something that we can, first of all, see from Scripture, that the Scriptures tell us that history is linear and that it's moving toward its culmination in a battle between good and evil, not only physically but spiritually at Armageddon. And we do know the Scriptures tell us that, it says in Revelation 16:14-16, for they are the spirits of devils which go forth to the kings of the world, the kings of the earth, to gather them together to the battle of the great day of God, which in the Hebrew tongue is called Armageddon. So Scriptures tell us that there's these spiritual beings that are seeking to bring the world together to fight against God in the end. And it's interesting because when you look at, for instance, you mentioned Aleister Crowley, we show from one musician to another that he's basically the patron saint of rock and roll, but he's also the architect of the Satanic New World Order. And we show from his book, which is basically a Satanic manifesto called The Book of the Law, we show where how Aleister Crowley, his philosophy was do what thou wilt shall be the whole of law. Basically, it became do your own thing, or if it feels good, do it, in the 1960s. And we show that he basically, and we show Timothy Leary, who was the drug guru of the 1960s and turned so many of the youth onto drugs and was used by the Beatles and vice versa. We show Timothy Leary in a PBS interview that talking about how Crowley was basically made the 60s. And we show in our video that Alfred Kinsey, the Kinsey sex reports, and Robert Anton Wilson, who was the editor for Playboy magazine, Harry Hay, the modern founder of, the founder of modern day homosexuality, along with Timothy Leary, Ellen Hubbard, and others. We show that the intellectual elite of the 1960s subculture was basically Crowleyan, influenced by Aleister Crowley, beyond the rock stars. And what's incredible about this is Aleister Crowley said that he was targeting the youth and that he was targeting the United States. Well, with the youth in the United States, with the youth in the United States, that we have this whole the whole hippie movement, and they brought in Eastern mysticism, so forth, and they took Crowley's ideals and teachings as his books were republished in mass and spread throughout the hippie culture. Now that subculture of the 1960s that was designed by Crowley, and we prove it with documentation, is actually mainstream today.
And of course, for our listeners who do not know who Aleister Crowley was, he was a 33rd degree Mason who was 12 years at 33rd degree Mason before he was invited to go into the upper echelons of Masonry, those levels that most Masons don't even need exist. And if you read his writings, he will tell you he became a Satanist and homosexual within this satanic movement. He called himself the Beast, number 666, the evilest man in the world. He was a supporter of child sacrifice. Of course, he had a profound impact. He formed organizations. He has literally tens of thousands of followers today. His organization was the OTO. And you can go up on the website and look up Aleister Crowley, and you'll find a great deal about him until the American people understand the impact he has on the world we live in today. And yet the average individual is never going to hear about Aleister Crowley. So anyway, where did you get all of this film footage that you put together, this amazing video? The pictures, of these film stars like Marilyn Manson and Ozzy Osbourne in front of literally tens of thousands of young people, and they're all giving the satanic sign with their hand, where their index and small finger are extended, and the two middle fingers are bent, the sign of the goat.
Well, it's interesting because it's out there. It's just not something that you typically would see put together as we put it together on, say, 60 Minutes or something. Certainly MTV wouldn't show their audience, at least not at this point in time. They might show it from a try to make it attractive. We show it for what it is and where it's all headed. In fact, in our four-hour video, we have probably a 40-minute scene on hell and where all this ends up, and we show how rock stars, how many of them have died young and so forth, the average age of rock stars and so forth. What's interesting is some of the footage we show, for instance, Ozzy Osbourne singing Mr. Crowley, or Led Zeppelin. We have a long segment on Led Zeppelin and how the biggest band of the '70s, Led Zeppelin, were totally influenced by Crowley. We show that throughout their music, and we show Crowley on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album by the Beatles. We show him on the cover of the album. We show interviews with John Lennon, where John Lennon said that the Beatles' philosophy was "Do what thou wilt," which they took from Crowley. So we show that there is definitely a philosophy that permeates the rock and roll industry and what is now very much mainstream. But we show in detail that Crowley basically had a plan, and that was to. And we believe it wasn't just Crowley. We believe he's just a man. He was a puppet who gave himself over to satanic forces, and he said his desire was to basically become a satanic organizer and get in hold of Satan personally and become like his chief of staff. Well, what's interesting is he basically has made such headway. I think if you look at any one person that's influenced modern culture, whether you look at some of the men I just mentioned that were pivotal in the 60s as far as whether it be Kinsey or Robert Anton Wilson or Harry Hay or Timothy Leary, and then you look at the rock musicians and you look at who they were influenced by, you would have to pin much of this at the feet of the Satanist Aleister Crowley. But all this was foretold in Scripture. We know that it's more than Crowley. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Our concern is that there are many, many Christians who allow their children to be influenced by these bands, and then they wonder, why is my child, you know, getting into the occult, or into black magic, or into Wicca, or into homosexuality, or how did they change so fast? I can't tell you how many testimonies we've heard of people who said, my child was doing really good, and then I just let them get into this music, and now they just totally changed. It's like they don't know me. They're slashing their wrists. They're talking about committing suicide. It's heartbreaking. I mean, when you look at the death toll as a result of so much of this music and the death toll of our culture, I mean, the bell's ringing. I mean, like the Roman Empire, our culture is really going down, and we need to sound a clarion call that people need to return to Christ, and that the Bible says not to have any fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather expose them. And sadly, Christians are closing their eyes to what's really going on in this world.
And, of course, it's not simply the lyrics of the music. Isn't it also the beat of the music and really the sound of the music that is having a profound impact? One of the leading Christian ministers today says that there is no such thing as Christian music. There's only Christian lyrics. And that's how he justifies bringing this music that would be sang at these rap sessions, at these massive demonstrations, massive concerts, into the church, and it's loud, raucous, and the beats, these abnormal beats that really have a profound impact on the individual, and then they sing the same verse over and over and over again, almost like a mantra. What's your thought about that as a musician and as a Christian minister?
Well, I play, as a musician, I play praise music right now, so I basically play acoustic guitar and sing and worship. I don't lead worship at the fellowship where I'm at. I don't believe God's called me to that. If you listen to a lot of Hebrew music, it's somewhat rhythmic and so forth, but there's a difference from rhythm and praising God and so forth from so much of what's out there now. Like a lot of the rap stuff is very arrogant. A lot of it's very, a spirit of pride. I have to say, a lot of it has a spirit of pride. There's many bands out there in the name of Christ playing with anger and vengeance and confusion. I was talking to one man who said you can't basically draw a line musically. And I said, it's very hard to draw a specific line, but I do know this. He believed that that any kind of music style was appropriate. And I asked him, I said, if you have children, would you play the theme music, say, without lyrics, from, say, The Exorcist or The Omen, for them when they're going to sleep? And obviously he recoiled at the thought because he knows that there are certain sounds and there are certain things going on musically that bring out the baser parts of the human nature and even the evil. So I believe scripturally, I think you can prove also, it says to sing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord, not with vengeance and anger. I know when King David played before King Saul, it said the demon that possessed King Saul would leave. I believe you could turn the other side of the coin over, and if you're playing music that's destructive and hateful and belligerent and has a full-blown party spirit and is void of God, that you basically open yourself up to the presence of demonic beings.
All right, well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Pastor Joe Schimmel. His video is called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And if you've ever noticed an awful lot of these rock stars actually die very violent deaths, as did John Lennon, actually killed by one of his great admirers, who said that a voice kept telling him to kill him, to kill him, to kill him. And this is covered in the movie, as really so many other things are. An amazing encounter with the other world that grips the very souls of so many of our young people. We'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Pastor Joe Schimmel. If you have a question or comment, give us a call here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces
leading
that have moved America
profound
from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of ours. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules, preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is a time I want to remind you that there is going to be a conspiracy conference. It's going to be held over in the Santa Clara area. It's going to be tomorrow and Sunday. It's all day long, and there's going to be a lot of speakers there. If you want to know exactly where it is, I believe it's the Marriott Hotel, but you better call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. If you're interested in coming, there are going to be some great speakers there. Joyce Riley will be there. Mark and Kathy Phillips. Hopefully Rodney Sitch has been ill, but hopefully he'll be there. Eric Kupfschmidt. I'm going to be there. I'm not going to be speaking, but I'm going to have a table. I think it's an important. Now, there are going to be people there that, a few people I would disagree with, but I think they've got a great lineup of speakers, and I'm really looking forward to being there, and I hope that if you're interested, you'll call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999, or go to the website conspiracycon.com. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I guess this afternoon is Pastor Joe Schimmel. And Joe, how did you get out of the out of this lifestyle? I mean, what made you finally realize that what you were doing was getting involved in with demonic spirits, and decide that you were going to begin looking for the truth and salvation?
Well, it's interesting. There was one experience that happened all the time during this time I was opening myself up to the spiritual world. And it was a strange experience. It was I'd go into a state of paralysis, into an altered state of consciousness, and I'd hear a kind of a humming sound going through my head. And I thought, well, at first I thought, what is this? And then I'd have to wait till it stopped before I could even move. And I started to get used to that and realized it was part of the music that was coming to me and everything else. And I thought it was just some strange wave, mysterious thing that was happening through the subconscious. I was reading books on the power of the subconscious at that time. I wouldn't find out until later that I'd read in the most popular song of all time, Stairway to Heaven, by Led Zeppelin, that Robert Plant said when he wrote Stairway to Heaven, that his hands started moving, and he started writing out words as a lady with shawl that glitters with gold, and she's behind a stairway to heaven. He said they wrote three quarters of the song on the spot, and he almost fell out of his, leaped out of his seat, because it came automatically. But in that song, it says if your head is humming, it won't go. In case you don't know, the piper is calling to join him, the piper in that song, Satan. I'd later read people like Oprah Winfrey and others say that they were lonely and not popular or whatever, things like that, until they got in touch with the universal hum. This is another part of Eastern mysticism and in contact with the demonic world. In the midst of one of those experiences, when I began to look at my lyrics and put two and two together and the nature of some of my spiritual experiences as being demonic, I started to realize, wow, what if this is true, what the Bible says about, you know, satanic forces and evil forces? And I began to realize what was going on. And I cried out to God in my heart. I couldn't even move my mouth but because of that experience. But right then, my experience stopped. And I realized not only was Satan very real and very powerful and at work in this world, I also realized that God is very real and very powerful. And the same experience happened a few days later or so, almost a week later. I cried out to the Lord more directly this time, because the first time I said, only if this is good. I was kind of testing it. So the other time I knew what was going on for sure. I cried out to God. It stopped. I ultimately, at that point, bowed my knee basically before God. I tore all my wallpaper down, and the reason I say that is my wallpaper was basically my Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix posters, and I did a 180. I didn't even remember consciously thinking, do I stop all the things that I was doing prior to being a Christian? I woke up the next day, and, you know, I didn't even have to try to quit smoking. I mean, everything changed in my life. It was one of those very dramatic conversion experiences. And a lot of people in my family and my friends and stuff were at first like, what happened? But now I'm glad to say that almost all of them have come to Christ and are following them. Many of them go to the fellowship. I've been pastoring for years now. I've been a Christian for about almost 23 years. And I will say right now, how I got the victory was through Jesus Christ. And I believe he is the victory. And he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And the Bible says that they overcame him, meaning the devil, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, that's the blood of Christ, his shed blood on the cross, and by the word of their testimony, that's the word of God, and they loved not their lives unto death, meaning they remained faithful to Christ. So the victory comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of all things. He only allows Satan to exist because he's dividing the wheat from the tares right now, the sheep from the goat, and he's letting people make a choice and respond to the gospel or reject the gospel. And I believe wholly and wholeheartedly that the only deliverance that comes to anybody, not only from music, but from the power of sin and death and eternal punishment, is through the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross and turning from sin and turning to him as Lord and Savior.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think that people have to understand we're involved in the spiritual battle for the souls of men, and the average individual doesn't understand the spiritual battle is going on. They don't understand that in the public schools today, first of all, by taking any mention of God and the Ten Commandments and prayer out of our schools, and then, of course, by teaching evolution as if it's fact, which discredits the Bible, and then teaching our young people values clarification. You be the judge. You do what you want to. Of course, that's exactly what Crowley taught.
Do what thou wilt, right?
Do what thou wilt. That's the whole of the law. So we're teaching our young people Crowleyism in our public schools and indoctrinating them to enter this other world. And the only thing that's going to bring them back, of course, is an understanding of the true nature of sin, the true nature that there are dark spiritual forces out there,
right.
And those dark spiritual forces are after their souls. So we hope that many of you out there will want to get this amazing amazing video. It's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And I will tell you, it's 4 hours of the most amazing film footage you've ever seen. And as you see them beginning to discuss what's going on, and Timothy Leary admitting that this is all Crowleyism. And, of course, there's Kinsey. Kinsey was part and parcel of sexual aberration. Harry Hay, who founded the gay liberation movement, was a Crowleyite. And Crowley's influence is predominant in the world today, and most people don't even know who Aleister Crowley was. Be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty.
Help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, Ear to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we certainly want to mention that we carry Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any claims, medical claims for it. We can just tell you that a lot of people who use these products tell us that they really do wonderful things for them, and some of them say it helps their rashes, and others say it helps their acne, and others say it makes their skin softer. I know I use the moisturizing soap, and at least I think, as far as I'm concerned, it's done away with the sort of scaly elbows that I used to have and had for about 50 years. And then, of course, it helps the rash that I have. Maybe it won't help you. Maybe it will help you. The only thing we could suggest is, why don't you give it a try? Because a lot of the people who use Miracle 2 soap products really do believe that they have miraculous effects. So remember again our telephone number. It's 1-800-544-8927. And consider getting an introductory offer and see if the products will help you. Then we also carry something called Phonopoly. And Phonopoly is a program that's designed to teach your children and your grandchildren how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. Our minds were designed to learn languages phonetically. That's why they gave that up in our schools, because they wanted to deliberately dumb down our children. And with all the money we're putting out in schools, why we have some of the lowest scores in the entire world as far as accomplishment, didn't happen by accident. If you leave your child in the government schools, they're going to change their values, attitudes, and beliefs, and a lot of them will graduate and never be able to read or read properly. Phonopoly is a program that will teach children to do what their minds were meant to do, and most of these programs cost $300, $400, $500, $600. This costs $139.95, but it's $6 or $7 shipping. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask about Phonopoly. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Pastor Joe Schimmel. And Joe, of course, has been on the other side, and now, of course, he is a Christian minister trying to warn people about the dark and sinister spiritual forces that are out there. And so if you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And you know, Joe, one of the things that really impressed me was the pictures of literally tens of thousands of young people at these concerts, jumping up and down and, you know, almost hypnotized by the music. Did you have this feeling that really they were almost obsessed or taken over by the music?
Well, yeah, and many of the musicians are aware of that. I have a whole section on a video where we play, quote from, you know, play a bunch of different rock stars, top rock stars, talking about how they know that they're influencing the children. Jimi Hendrix said in the 60s that, way back in the 60s, he said, we hypnotize them, we get them to their weakest points through our music, then we preach into their subconscious is what we want to say. And he went on to talk about the electric church and so forth, and a ton of studies that have come out on the effect of music on the brain and so forth. I document from Newsweek and from another top magazine, actually Billboard as well, which is the rock and roll industry's magazine, basically, where two different specialists talk about how the brain is basically like a sponge in water when it's regarding music. Pellegrino, one of the top experts on the brain, wrote for Billboard that how much one song could do to the brain more than anything he could come up with in a lifetime, basically. Music has an incredible effect. I know that my friends and myself, before I was a Christian, the way we dressed, the way we talked, the values that we had, all came from our music. And we see that over and over again. And that means you could take rap music from the ghetto and you could put it in a middle-class neighborhood among the kids, and before you know it, they're all dressing with, their pants that are coming down, past their rear ends and so forth. And it's just silly even to argue that music doesn't have an effect on people, and obviously it's having a huge effect on our culture.
And it really does, and this is the way you change the culture. And Aristotle knew that, Plato knew that, but of course some of our modern ministers don't know that, because they say, there's no such thing as Christian music, they're only Christian lyrics. And I say some of this music comes right out of the pit of hell, and the people who are using it know how it opens your mind to demonic manifestations. Now, certainly, as we talked about a little earlier, so many of the people, the musicians actually know that they've sold their soul to the devil, don't they?
Right. That's one thing we document throughout our video. We play footage. I mean, we go way back to the 50s, and we have audio tape of people like, we show video of Elvis and Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis. We play audio tape of him with Sam Phillips, the same one who produced Elvis Presley, and we have him and Sam Phillips arguing because Jerry Lee Lewis is in the studio recording Great Balls of Fire, saying that he's possessed by the devil, and Phillips is saying, but God can use your music and so forth. And we show from the 50s onward, and we actually go way back to the 1930s and so forth, but we show from the 50s onward that you have this common denominator of rock stars who have actually admitted selling their souls to the devil for fame and power and fortune. And some would say, well, maybe it's a gimmick, but one thing we show is that over and over again, after they've died, these are things that things that they tried to keep hidden from the public to one degree or another, that have came out in some interviews or came out in, through some of their family members. In Jimi Hendrix's case, he stated that he personally, he told his girlfriend, Fane Pridgeon, and also the executive curator of his musical estate, he told them both that he was possessed by a demon and that the music was coming out of him and he was being used by a spirit entity. Well, he's considered the greatest guitarist of all time. Jim Morrison also believed he was possessed by a demon. We actually show footage where he's taken over by demonic forces on stage. Brian Wilson believed he's possessed by about 40 different spirits. John Lennon said he was a hollow temple. One spirit would come out and then it would leave and then another one would come in. And we could go through Michael Jackson. He has a room of mirrors whereby he contacts spirits, and he says that the music comes from the another world and it's just given to him. And I mean, I could talk for just hours just quoting these guys and the contact with the spirit world they have. And no wonder the scriptures say that these fallen angels are musical beings. And it says also in 1 Timothy 4:1 that the Holy Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. These guys, these spirits have doctrines, and they come forth through their music, and it's through the music that these messages are rhythmically, in a very powerful way, drummed into their consciences, and therefore we have a transformed society. It's a very powerful tool in St. Zan.
Well, it's really interesting. For the last 30 years, I've subscribed to the communist publications. One of them is Political Affairs. In the latest issue of Political Affairs magazine, they have an article on rock and roll, and the article starts out saying rock and roll is rebellion. And of course, they have always wanted to destroy America. Of course, we won't get into who funds the communist movement here in America, but funding's not certainly coming from Russia. They don't have enough money to do it. In fact, without the constant infusions of money from the United States, they would have collapsed a long time ago. But their whole economy would collapse, but we're still finding one another reason to give them money. But they, when you read their publications, they are quite blatant in what they say. Rock and roll is rebellion. And of course, they understand that, and yet so many parents don't understand that, and they don't want to be too bossy with their children. After all, they can't discipline them. You know, we have to give the child, let him just do what he wants to, and he's going to, of course, get over this. It's a phase he's got to go through, and some of them do, but a lot of them don't, and that's the tragedy. And the parents won't stand up and put their foot down today, why they may not very well have a child to be able to counsel in the future. Because, as you pointed out, so many of these young people who are into this music world, or so many of the musicians, actually commit suicide, don't they?
Oh, that's true. I know that after I became a Christian, and I became a Christian after my rebellion in my teenage years, and somebody could say, well, look, you came out of it. Well, I came out of it because I turned to Christ, and I did a U-turn regarding the music and everything that I was into. I can speak of two of my friends. While many of my friends and so much of my family came to Christ, two of my friends are dead. They died in their early 20s, still partying, still in the music and that lifestyle, and they both sadly died in the fast lane. So many people don't come out of it, and somebody might come out of the lifestyle as far as not, you know, they might not abuse, you know, abuse drugs, and they might not be involved in an incredibly perverted sexual lifestyle. But if Satan can keep them from turning to Christ and keep them from embracing the Savior and just keep them doing what they will, you know, following Crowley's maxim, Satan has them. So as there's different degrees of rebellion, but all Satan's objective is ultimately is to keep people from Christ. And this music basically creates a fantasy world, an illusion, and makes it attractive. And sadly, the death toll can be a very young age, or somebody could live many years. But when you reject Christ, you basically reject salvation, and that's Satan's ultimate aim through this music.
And what people don't understand is the music is almost addicting. I mean, the beat actually begins to release endorphins, and you get this almost like a high simply from the music. Of course, you can increase that with drugs and other things, but, you know, the music itself is addicting, and these young people get so involved in this, and they don't understand the terrible impact it's having, not only their hearing, but very well on their heart and upon their soul. And it really is a terrible thing. And you bring out now for 4 hours of films, and of course it's not repetitive at all, and all sorts of things that the average individual is never going to consider, because they do not understand this dark world of rock and roll.
No, it's funny, once your eyes are open and you see what's going on. I mean, I've had presentations, I've done a lot of live presentations, and I've had people that have come to defend their music that have lined up, you know, waiting to heckle or something like that. In fact, a fireman in our church named Jack Haynes, he came to a presentation, and he couldn't wait to say something, and before he knew it, he was turning to Christ, and he gave his life to Christ that day. And we've seen literally thousands of people come to Christ through this ministry, because it's such an eye-opener. You see, you can't deny that this is going on. I mean, I like to talk to agnostics and atheists and show them this material, because there's no way they could explain it away. There's too much design behind it, and it's a fulfillment of biblical prophecy.
Well, now, what was the relationship of Charles Manson to the Beach Boys?
Well, it's interesting because, yeah, CBS just did a new movie on Charles Manson. It came out, I think, last week, and I just saw it recently. Someone taped it for me. And it's interesting because Dennis Wilson had actually given Charles Manson and his family, were about 25 people, one of his gold records, which they used to get on the Spahn Ranch, which is the place where they basically used as, you know, their headquarters. Also, on the 2020 album, the Beach Boys actually recorded one of Charles Manson's songs. By the way, if you ever heard Charles Manson's music, it's quite interesting, because I've interviewed Susan Atkins, who was convicted of about 9 of the murders. I interviewed her several times, and she mentioned how he would just continue to play the same thing over and over, or not the same thing, I'm sorry, different things. That sometimes he wouldn't repeat himself for hours. Different things would come out of him, and she said he would channel it. As a musician, these different songs would come out of him and so forth, and it was through the music that he controlled the Manson family. Now, we look at that and say, wow, look at the brainwashing that went on through the music, and parents can say, wow, I'm grateful my kid didn't get caught up in you know, Charles Manson's cult, but their child could be caught up in the Marilyn Manson cult, which numbers millions, or the Ozzy Osbourne cult, or the Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera cult. And sometimes people wince when they say, wow, I mean, you're talking about Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. And, you know, I mentioned, we showed in our video that both of them, Aguilera and Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears, they're, you know, kissing. This was something that was popular in the media for a few weeks while they covered it. Madonna. But what a lot of people don't know is that was part of the agenda. Madonna says that when she is seen with other women doing her lesbian-type acts in her concerts and in her video footage, because she'll rub against them and kiss them, she says that if people continue to see it over and over again, at first, she said, they might not like it, but after they see it over and over again, hopefully, she says, they'll accept it. Well, basically, when she was with Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears, you have the top three females in the pop industry kissing each other, and it's basically a lesbian wedding. Madonna is first seen with dressed like a male to a wedding march, and then she struts down some stairs as the music changes to dance music, then she kisses them. In fact, she gave Britney Spears a letter B that was a diamond-studded B that cost thousands of dollars. It was like a wedding. And at the end of that song on MTV Music Awards, they shout out basically, we're bored with the concept of right and wrong. Now, these children, that parents say, well, I'm glad my children aren't in the Marilyn Manson. They don't realize by opening them up to what seems innocent, these same messages are being put forth and our children are being jaded. I mean, their little hearts are being corrupted, and it's heartbreaking because so many children are falling by the wayside, and we need to take a stand and in love and in prayer reach out to our children, and if they're in our house, they need to know that there's a difference between good and evil. God came down on the priests in the Old Testament because he said they didn't make a distinction between that which is holy and that which is profane. And unfortunately, I'm sorry to say that, you know, pastors, church leaders, Christian parents, they're not making a distinction in the household anymore, in the church, between that which is holy and profane.
Well, now, you have a website. How can people get in touch with and get some of your material?
Our website is goodfight.org. And there's plenty of articles, plenty of help, and so forth. You know, I'd like them to try to get the video through you guys first, if they can. If they can't, they could certainly go there. But we definitely want to support your ministry. And we're trying to do the same thing and saying, hey, there's a lot going on there. And all they have to do is type in goodfight.org, and they'll get a whole lot of information. They could bring up the articles and so forth and share these articles with their children and let them understand that there's a reason you need, you know, making their children aware and taking a stand. Children are looking for somebody to follow. And if the parents aren't going to be parents, they're going to, you know, Marilyn Manson, many of these rock stars said that they're, you know, Marilyn Manson mocks parents and says because parents aren't parenting, basically the children are turning to him.
All right. Well, what else did you learn from Susan Atkins when you talked to her, other than, you know, the fact that that Manson would actually channel all this music? It was sort of a very fascinating music. It had apparently quite a hold on the various members of the family.
Well, yeah, he had a hold on them through his music. He definitely was a very demonically charismatic person. I don't doubt that he had supernatural powers. He used telepathy and so forth and just blew them away. They realized, wow, many of them thought he was Christ. Many of them also point out that he said he was Satan. Well, he was associated with a satanic cult called the Process. The Process was a satanic cult that said that believed in a form of universalism, that Jesus and Satan would become one. And basically, they were one, and Satan was Jesus' avenger. It was a seductively satanic cult where it tried to bring everything together. And actually, Charles Manson was visited by a couple members of the Process, and then he was talking about the Process and everything. And then, according to Bugliosi, who was his prosecuting attorney, as soon as the two members of the Process visited him, he stopped talking about them altogether. Well, Charles Manson had a very similar view of in his Satanism, trying to combine Satan and Christ as the Process. And what's interesting is there was a Crowleyan influence on the satanic, or satanic Crowleyan influence on Charles Manson and the family. That influence would be, for instance, Susan Atkins. She was a member, or I should say she was part of the Church of Satan, and she danced for Anton LaVey of the Church of Satan, came out of coffins and so forth. And the first man to kill for Charles Manson, also Bobby Beausoleil, had worked with Kenneth Anger, who was a co-founder of the Church of Satan and was a follower of Aleister Crowley's teachings, and he appears in two of the different videos done by Kenneth Anger, who co-founded the Church of Satan, as Lucifer Rising and Invocation of My Demon Brother. He's in one of those movies starring as Lucifer. Now, these guys didn't accidentally end up with Charles Manson. It's interesting, not only do you have a Crowleyan connection there, but David Berkowitz, who is a son of Sam, He came out later and admitted that he was working with different people that were connected to the process on the East Coast, rather than where Charles Manson was on the Southern California, but on the East Coast, that they, it wasn't just him, and he goes into how they were followers of Crowley and so forth, but that they were seeking to bring a form of anarchy, just like Manson was, to the world, to where it would have to be oppressed to bring in the New World Order and the Antichrist. So there's some amazing connections. Some of the, I cover some of this in the longer version of They Sold Their Souls to Rock and Roll, but there's some amazing connections regarding Crowley and serial killers that we show beyond the two I just mentioned. You hit it, the nail right on the head, Dr. Stan, when you mentioned that people are totally unaware of the effect that Aleister Crowley's been having on the world at large and through so many different veins and thought processes.
Well, there's a book entitled The Ultimate Evil by Maury Torrey, who was an investigative reporter, and he goes into the Son of Sam killings and the fact that, of course, the media is never going to tell you that this was part of a satanic cult, and there were powerful forces in New York who did not want to get that information out. There were some people there who wanted to investigate it, and they were blocked at every turn. And then,
right,
of course, coming right here into Southern California, where the same satanic cult was working and tied into Charles Manson. But isn't it amazing that CBS did not bring that out? Well, there are a lot of things that CBS doesn't bring out. Joe, our guest is Pastor Joe Schimmel. His video is They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. We carry that. We'll tell you in a few minutes how to get it. Joe, thanks very much for being with us, and we'll look to having you on our other program, our evening program here, I guess, next week.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Stan, and God bless you, and praise God for your hard work.
Bye-bye. You too.
Bye-bye.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been secret societies. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago. And it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me tell you that, first of all, we carry the Robinson Homeschool curriculum. It's made up of 22 CDs, and it will actually take your child from grammar school all the way through high school graduation for $199.95. Now, you have to pull the material down off your computer. All the textbooks are there except for the Saxon math books, and, of course, your child is not to be on the computer. They just simply to get started reading as much as they can, but all the rest of the courses are there. And this is exactly what Dr. Art Robinson, who's one of the country's leading scientists, put together for his children. He raised all six of them with it, and the first two that left high school went into the third year of college. The Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, $199.95. It's all on CDs. If you want more information, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you're interested in excellence in education, it doesn't take very much time for the parent. And then we wanted to mention that we carry the Sanjian Radio. It's a shortwave radio, FM, AM, all of those things. It's a digital radio. And, of course, the reason we carry it is now we're doing 4 hours of shortwave a day, and you can actually get our evening program. If you can't get it through your regular station, well, you can get our evening program from 8 to 10 every evening Pacific, or 10 to 12 Central Time at 5.745 megahertz. The radio comes, I think it's $149.95 plus maybe $5 or $10 shipping. It depends. You'll have to check and see. But it comes with a 24-foot aerial. The secret to shortwave reception is having a good aerial, and this is a collapsible, it looks like almost like a tape measure, 24-foot aerial. Call us at 1-800-544-8927 and ask about the Sanjian Radio. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and right now, of course, we're going to mention that we do carry the video, and this is the 4-hour video. We will have the 10-hour video. We just haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but we will have the 4-hour video, and we will actually be carrying later on the 10-hour video if you want to get that. But the 4-hour video is available by calling 1-800-544-8927, and you'll see some of the most amazing footage of Marilyn Manson and Ozzy Osbourne and the Beach Boys and so many of the other rock stars talking about Aleister Crowley and Timothy Leary. And when you understand that this is all Crowleyanism, it is Satanism, as the most powerful religion in America today, because the secret satanic organizations are never investigated by the police or by the FBI. In fact, the head of the FBI division on this says, oh, it just doesn't exist at all. Sort of reminds me of that story by C.S. Lewis, who said that by the two demons are talking, and one of them says, once we can convince the public we don't exist, at that point, we will have won. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble today. If you want the 4-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, and every child, every parent should see this, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We have a 4-tape set on Aleister Crowley and his friends. You need to understand that these things are not imaginary, they're real. Aleister Crowley had a profound impact on the world in which we live, on Kinsey. On the homosexual movement, on Harry Hay, who created the gay liberation movement, on Timothy Leary, who introduced so many of our children to drugs. And right today, almost 6 or 7% of our young people are taking one or another form of legal drugs. They're giving them in schools, whether they want them or not, because it's a lot easier to drug our kids than to worry about them if they're hyperactive or a class 8 or type A personality. We've got real problems in America, because America has turned against God. We have a 4-tape set on the pagan agenda. We have a 4-tape, we have a pagan agenda special that has all sorts of other books that will go into the demonic influence that faces us today. We have a book on the demonic roots of globalism. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there truly are demonic forces pushing this idea of one world government under the United Nations, which... Well, listen to our politicians, and they're talking about how we're going to use the United Nations, you know, over there in Iraq, to set up this new government over there. Why would you go to an organization that was founded in Satanism and demonism to help you set up a government for the poor Iraqi people who've been under tyranny for so long from the wicked Saddam Hussein? Who, incidentally, was financed by America all during the 1980s. And if you doubt that, just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the Washington Post article about how the United States financed the wicked Saddam Hussein and provided him with the chemical and biological warfare, even gave him the go-ahead to go into Kuwait in 1990. But, of course, we know he was a wicked, wicked man. And he used those poison gas against the Kurds and against the Iranians. But it was poison gas that we had sold him. And we supported him after he had done those wicked things. And you have to ask yourself why. Well, if you want to get that article, or you want to get the articles on the pagan agenda, or you want to get the articles... certainly the material that we're talking about, the 4-tape set on Aleister Crowley... Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or the video by the same name. You need to get my material on Iraq, the untold story, or the syllabus that goes with us. You need to help us to get the truth out across America while we still can. Well, we're running out of time, and so this is the time I want to remind you that Radio Liberty looks to you for help, and we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but we ask you to pray specifically for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until Monday, when we'll be back with you, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.